That is a theme song for the Wild Wild West, a TV show that kind of made me think about the, or at least I was starting to think about that by talking to Steve Hendrickson and Bob Banghart about the display at the of guns at the Alaska State Museum. They're here in the studio, Steve Hendrickson and Bob Banghart from the Alaska State Museum, talking about a display of historic firearms that is going on. Steve, what is on display?
Well, we have a selection of firearms from Alaska's history on display, and a lot of them are drawn from our own collection, but we also borrowed some from our neighboring institutions, and we have a pretty good, well-rounded selection of firearms going back to the oldest firearm would technically be the Russian cannon that we have that probably dates back to the 1700s, and then one of the more recent ones is a commemorative Winchester that was issued for the centennial of the Tongass National Forest, so it covers quite a bit of ground.
You have something called a cane gun, which is actually what I believe was used in the Wild Wild West at some point. Describe that, please.
Yeah, this is a gentleman's cane for walking. At least it looks like one, but it has in the handle a mechanism that actually fires a projectile. I'm not sure what caliber it is, but it was pretty popular in the late 1800s in areas that were there was a lot of crime, and Skagway in those days was certainly in that category. And this week may have been up there during the Gold Rush period. It comes from a collection in Skagway.
Speaking of Skagway, you also have a couple of Soapy Smith's guns.
Yeah, these are ones on loan to us. There's a revolver and a little Derringer that were both taken from Soapy after his timely demise or untimely demise.
And depending on who you talk to.
Yeah, that's right. And there's, of course, there authenticity always enters into things, and we try to do our homework and provide what we think is the most authentic of those of any artifacts in the museum. These have an excellent pedigree, and we're very certain that these are authentic, although if just about every community has at least one firearm that belonged to
Wyatt Earp.
Wyatt Earp, yeah.
We've got a Wyatt Earp pistol.
That's right. So you have to be careful, but these are really, we know that they were there at the time associated with people that were affiliated with Soapy's demise and what happened directly afterwards.
Do you have Wyatt Earp's gun?
No, we don't.
No, we passed on that one.
So what are other notable people you have their firearms?
Well, there's one of my favorites is a 1876 model lever action rifle that belonged to Frederick Schwatka, a U.S. Army explorer that was sent to Alaska in the 1880s to go down the Yukon River and do some map making and exploring in that area. And this is a real nice, it's kind of a typical Old West firearm, but I mean that one is tied to a specific individual. A lot of them, though, we don't necessarily have a tie to a specific person, but it's more representative of the period. And one of my favorite guns, actually we have several of them, are these Hudson's Bay Company trade guns that were brought up by the Hudson's Bay Company in the early 1800s for the fur trade, and they continued to make this standard pattern up until the almost the turn of the 20th century. They were a very basic weapon, but they were so basic that they worked really well in frontier areas where you couldn't just go down to the local sporting goods store and buy a certain kind of cartridge. All you needed was some gunpowder and something, either a lead bullet or a bullet that you made out of a piece of gravel or something like that, and you could get these guns to work. And so they were used well into the period that they had much more sophisticated kinds of mechanisms like lever actions and other devices.
You have guns that were used for self-defense and other guns for use for other purposes.
Oh yeah, there's you know, that's with the firearms. There's the self-defense and personal protection types of weapons, but most of these are general purpose, and their main use was for subsistence. And a good example of that was is a whaling gun that we have that fires what amounts to a stick of dynamite with fins on it. This is used for killing a whale, and the Yankee whalers as well as Alaska Native whalers still use guns like this for the purpose of hunting whales.
How many guns do you have in the exhibit?
It's about 40.
It's probably about
close
40.
40 guns, yeah. There's one there that's used for persuasion, which was tied to an individual's Jack Dalton's sawed-off single-barrel shotgun that was kept under the counter at his bar up on the Dalton Trail. And this thing looks like it was used as a club a number of times as well. It's pretty beat up.
Was this a kind of a guy's exhibit?
No, not at all. There was quite a few people, the enthusiasts that were there at opening night, that women.
And you also had some guns that weren't really guns at all.
Yeah, there's a ceremonial, we think it's like a song leader's paddle. It's a Klingit carving that is meant to resemble a lever-action rifle, and it's got some masks on it, and it at the potlatches, sometimes it would bring together people that were once at war with each other, and so some of the regalia kind of has military motifs or motifs of weapons, and it kind of reminds everybody that, you know, there were times in the past when the different parties were at war with each other, but potlatches, of course, are a time of peace, but no one would bring their actual weapons to something like that normally, but they might symbolize them with something like this song leader's paddle.
What is a feather duster doing in the gun collection?
Yeah, that wasn't something that we just left in there when we were trying to close up the cases, although we do use something like that to dust out. This is a Chinese feather duster. It's this bright purple feathered item that's tied into a stick in the middle. And it's in the show because we found photos of potlatches from the turn of the century where people were holding rifles with those feather dusters stuck in the barrel. And the feather dusters were brought up here by traders and were a really popular item for putting on headdresses, and we think that putting them in the muzzle of the firearms was just a way of showing people that it wasn't there, the gun wasn't there for warfare purposes. It was a ceremonial occasion.
Who curated the exhibit?
Well, we Bob and I shared curatorial responsibilities. And Bob is much more of an expert in firearms than I am, and is kind of our house gun enthusiast we go to for any time we have to answer a technical question about firearms. My angle is more of how they fit into Alaska's history, and also another theme that runs through the exhibit is the history of technology and some of the things that we see in the firearms really go back to the history of the Industrial Revolution. For instance, we have a Harper's Ferry rifle that was the first model that the Harper's Ferry arsenal produced that was made entirely of interchangeable parts, and that was a big thing in the development of industry. Having before that time, firearms were custom made, and all the pieces were carefully fit together one at a time, and the Harper's Ferry rifle that we have was the first one that everything is interchangeable on, and that's an important step.
And that Remington with that repeater was a semi-automatic and very unique system for ejection. It was this long spring that fit down the entire length of the barrel with a second covering over that. So it was one of the early examples of semi-automatic firearms, which was kind of interesting.
But Bob, do you have a favorite piece in the exhibit?
There is a Savage 22 Model 99 that's got a beautifully carved, it came from Sitka, and I forget the guy's name that we got it from that's credited in the collection, but it has a Tlingit carving on the forestock and on the butt of the rifle. Beautiful. Done. It makes me want to have one. But there's that one, and then we were lucky enough to borrow from the estate of Judge Stewart a bring back from World War II, a Luger pistol, an officer's pistol, like brand new looking, that Judge Stewart brought back from his tour in Europe. And Caleb, his son, was kind enough to loan it to us. And those are a couple of my favorite pieces in there.
Steve, do you have a favorite?
Well, I along with that, I kind of like some of the World War II firearms that we have. There's a Japanese machine gun that was dredged out of the harbor at Kiska. Apparently, the Japanese troops, when they abandoned the island, they jettisoned some of their burden of weapons and other things, just throwing them off the ship. And when the Americans came and were dredging out the harbor, this got sucked up into the dredge, and they pulled out this Japanese machine gun.
It must have been quite a surprise.
Yeah. Probably a bigger surprise would have been some of the unexploded ordnance that they sucked up into the dredge as well. But this is kind of the centerpiece for the World War II part of the exhibit. And we also have a really nice example of a Japanese rifle that's very intact. A lot of them were, the soldiers didn't like certain parts of them, so they just tore them off and threw them away. And this one has all of the accessories on there that typically would have been discarded, including a special sight on it that they had for being able to fire at aircraft that probably wasn't very practical, but still this one is all together.
The other thing that in the show is, too, is we went to the historic photo archives and went through and found images of firearms being used in pictures. You know, for the most part, it was some ceremonial, some subsistence, and because it's really a very interesting history to follow through to watch as those technologies of firearm came into the subsistence arena here, how that changed harvest patterns, how that changed communities being able to bring more game in, et cetera. So that dresses the wall with the photos and a few in the cases, too.
That's part of the one of the exhibits going on in the Alaska State Museum now. Another new exhibit is the Women Painters of Sitka. Who is representative?
We've got three artists represented in that exhibit. One is Catherine Delaney Abrams, also Martha Knapp, and Leslie Jackson. And these three artists were active in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And it just so happens that our museum here has an excellent representation of the work from that period. Every museum has its strengths and weaknesses, and one of ours is in this particular area. And what's especially nice about it is that a lot of these are watercolors and they're in really excellent condition. A lot of them that I've seen have been hanging on the wall for 100 years and they're all faded, but these haven't been out on display all that time. So as a result, the colors are still very vivid. And we're especially lucky to have purchased recently several paintings from either descendants of the artists or from friends of the family that add to our collection. There's three paintings by Leslie Jackson. She was the daughter of the Reverend Sheldon Jackson, missionary in Sitka, and she did these paintings, we think, for the 1904 World's Fair in St. Louis. We have a list of the paintings that she showed there, and these paintings matching these are on the list, so we think that's what was going on there. Most of them are either scenic views of Southeast Alaska or views of towns and villages, so it really is an interesting snapshot in the lives and the scenery at that time. Of course, we also have photographs from that period, which may provide more detail, but they're in black and white. Of course, these are our color, and they are a more artistic impression of what the life and the land was like in those years.
All right, I've been talking with Bob Banghart and Steve Hendrickson from the Alaska State Museum about the display of historic firearms and also women painters of Sitka. Thank you very much for coming to the station.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jack.